Hey, what's up? This is Chef Noel Cunningham, your Jamaican chef. Welcome to What's Cooking with Chef Noel, the podcast that dishes on the food and beverage industry and the entrepreneurial spirit and everything relevant to being a chef. If you love to cook or eat, this is the show for you. What's Cooking with Chef Noel? Witty, real, and informative. Hey my people, what's up? Welcome back to What's Cooking with Chef Noel, and this is episode 50, the 50th episode. Yes, we made it. And I just want to say thank you all for listening each and every week. Woo! Yeah, so 50, that's a really, really big deal, you know. I started this podcast in the pandemic, August 30th, 2020. That's on my birthday for sure. It was like a birthday gift to myself. And when I started, I really had no idea where this podcast would go or long it would go. But it's just like jumping in your car, decided that, look, I'm just going to go for a road trip. You have no destination in mind, but you're just driving. And that's exactly what I've done and what I'm also doing. Trying to figure out things as I go along. Podcasting is not easy. And so far, I've had some great, great guests on this show. You know, and I won't mention any name because next thing, I'm going to forget someone and then I'm going to run into trouble. But I want to say a big thank you to all my guests over the years. Yeah. And to all my listeners around the world, I must say, you know, Jamaica, see US, Trinidad, I see the stats, I see the numbers and stuff. Thank you guys so much. Yes, so this week it's all about Chef Erica, who just got back all the way from Spain in the 6 tapas competition, and she represented Canada alongside, you know, 15 others. And Chef Erica, she has a great, great story. I love her story. And as you can see, this podcast is little over an hour long because we were chatting away. So you don't want to miss all the good details. I won't give you too much yet, but guess what? You want to join us for this conversation. Let's go. Alrighty, so Chef Erica is here all the way fresh from Spain. What's
Hi.
Up?
Hi. How are you? I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Is it okay to say welcome back?
Yeah. I mean, I literally just got off a plane. What day is it today?
Wednesday.
I don't even know. I'm still so jet lagged.
That's okay.
Yeah. I just came back Friday night.
Yeah.
And then I jumped. It was my daughter's first birthday on Sunday. So literally jumped right into throwing her a big family party. And then right back into work, and I'm like, my days are so mixed up, and I'm still like, I'm by 7 o'clock, I'm like, I'm exhausted, and then I'm up at 4:30 in the morning, so I'm still on Spain time.
I can imagine. But before we get into your work and your craft and Top Chef, your baby just celebrating 1 year old, and I know being a mom, you know, 365 days already, plus a chef, your husband also is a chef. What it's like for you
hectic.
As a mom. Yeah. And balancing hectic. Everything.
Life is just go, go, go. We don't stop. And honestly, I like it that way. I feel that once I slow down, then I kind of get into that like lazy couch potato mood and I don't want to move. Yeah. So I always like being on the go. I always like having something else to do.
Yeah.
And if I'm not doing something and I am sitting on the couch, then I'm like, okay, what can I do now? And then I start working on something else. Like, I'm very scatterbrained and I'm all over the place.
Yeah.
It's always something.
Yeah. I love that. I love that though. And I think it's just the old chef life and maybe a personality thing as well. We just like keep being busy.
Mm-hmm.
So I see where you have also won season 3 of Chop.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Let's go all the way from then before we go to age 17. Let's go to
Way back, play
Trump.
back.
Or you know what? Let's go to age 17 when you decide, look, I want to do culinary.
Okay.
Yeah.
I always loved cooking. I grew up in a house full of cooking. So my background, I'm Polish, Moroccan, Israeli, two very different ends of the spectrum. I come from a divorced household. So with my mom, we were very Polish. And then at my dad's house, he's very Moroccan Israeli. So I got to grow up knowing both worlds, and it was really amazing. With my mom, and my grandmother, I would always spend my days as a kid in the kitchen with them. Any class projects I had, like I never wanted to really do an essay or anything. I would always ask my teacher, like, can I do, a cooking demonstration or something to do with cooking? So those are amazing memories that I had as a kid. And then going to my dad's house was just always filled with people. We always had a massive dining room table filled with all our family. Like I'm talking like 20, 22 people, a huge family, tons of Moroccan Israeli food, just so much flavor. And I was that kid that like I didn't watch cartoons and I mean I rode my bike and I went outside to play, but if I wasn't doing I was in the kitchen with my family. I never wanted to be a professional chef. I didn't know that
Really?
that was in my cards
Yeah.
for when
So
I
what you
grew
wanted
up.
to be like what was your goal? Like what a teacher, doctor, lawyer, what was it?
So first it was a veterinarian when I was like really, really young, but I think that's like every little girl's dream. I really wanted to get into wedding and event planning. That was a big thing, which actually ties into my business now, which we can get into later. But cooking was always my love. It was my passion. It was in my blood. And then I started dating my boyfriend, who's my husband now, and he had always wanted to be a
In
chef.
high school sweethearts.
High school, yeah, kind of. It's a very long
I
story
love that
there.
story. I love that story as well. I think it's
It's
very
a very
cute.
long story, but yeah, he'd always wanted to be a chef, and he was in a co-op program at his school that actually allowed him to step outside of being in high school because he couldn't sit still in class. And he got to go work at North 44 as an apprenticeship. Mark McEwen's from North 44. And we were home one day, and he would always make me dinner. And one day I said, you know what, I'm going to make you dinner. And it was something so cheesy, literally cheesy. I made him pasta Alfredo.
No
but
pun
I
in,
like,
no pun intended.
no pun intended. But I chefed it up, and he looked at me and he's like, this is really good. And like, I know that you have, a knack for cooking. I know that you love doing it. I had worked in some bakeries and, he makes fun of me all the time. I worked at Wetzel's Pretzels at the movie theater when I was, I think, 15 years old making pretzels. So I had done a few of those things, East Side Mario's, Montana's. But he said to me, why don't you try getting into a co-op program and see if you can work in a fine dining restaurant? See if you like it. So I said, you know what, that's not a bad idea. I went the next day to my teacher and I explained what I wanted to do and went to speak to my guidance counselor, and they set it up, and they said, yeah, if you can find a restaurant that you can work in and you can get your hours, then go for it. So I went out and I was 17 years old. I went and I bought like the most fanciest suit that I possibly could at 17. I'm like, I have to be super professional in business. I walked into the Hazelton Hotel. Had no idea what I was doing or what I was in for, and I just looked at them and I was like, I need to speak to your executive chef. They took me to the kitchen, and their
Just like
faces,
that. Just like that.
just like that. They're probably looking at me like I'm crazy, like, who is this 17-year-old child walking into this kitchen wanting to speak to the executive chef? So I went and I spoke to Chef Andrew Ellerby, and I told him who I was, what I wanted to do, and I said, I want an apprenticeship in your kitchen. And he looked at me for a second and he said, you know what? Okay, why not? Let's try it out. So at 17, I got an apprenticeship with him. in one restaurant in the Hazelton Hotel, and that actually led to a 3-year full-time job. After my apprenticeship, I said, you know, thank you very much, chef. I totally appreciate you having me in your kitchen. And he looked at me and he said, what are you talking about? You're not going anywhere. You're going to be back here Monday morning for a paycheck this time.
So you got employed, yeah.
I got employed. Yeah. By 18, I was employed with them. And from there, I just worked my way up on the stations and learned everything that I could. Amazing group of people that I worked under.
Yeah.
They really paved the way for who I am today. They taught me so much. I had such amazing mentors there. And then from there, I went on to Niagara College. Both myself and my husband went to Niagara College. We enrolled in the culinary and hospitality program there, which was amazing because we didn't get to just do culinary, but we got to learn about wine and beer.
Yeah, I love those two. Horticulture.
Yeah, they have a great program there. We did that for 2 years, and yeah, that started my culinary journey.
Your journey, I knew
when I was in the kitchen at one that that's where I was meant to be.
Yeah.
There was nothing else I wanted to do. I absolutely fell
you feel
in love
at with home.
The
path. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You feel at home. You feel that peace. You feel like this is your safe space.
Yeah, exactly.
So are you naturally a competitive person?
I didn't think I was until I went on to Top Chef.
Really? So what about Chop? No? At that time, no?
No, not really. Chopped was, I mean, for both competitions, I didn't want to apply, actually.
Yeah.
My husband made me apply and he's like, just do it. We watch the shows all the time. Like we would have Chopped competitions at home.
Oh, yeah.
Just to like, you know, psych each other out. And they were doing the applications. He's like, I applied, do it. And I fell into the peer pressure and I was like, oh, okay, why not?
Yeah.
And I got there and I was so scared. I lived in Vancouver at the time. So they flew me out to Toronto and my husband was on it as well. He filmed his episode one day. So he got flown out one day, filmed his episode the next day, and then flew back the next day. And then that day that he flew back, they flew me out. And then I filmed and then I flew back. So we didn't see each other for like 6 days. I was 25 or 26 at the time. I had never done anything like that.
Yeah.
I had actually taken a step out of the kitchen as well when I did Chopped. Because I wanted to, you know, with opening a restaurant or being a part of the restaurant industry, I feel that it's really necessary to know the restaurant in and out.
That's true.
As a skeleton.
Yeah.
So I took a job as an operations manager at a restaurant so that I could see more of the front of house operations and learn the management side of it and then go back into the kitchen.
Yeah.
But I wasn't working in the kitchen at the time that I
So you were rusty. So.
I was so rusty and I was so scared.
I know what that feeling is like. Yeah.
But then I did it and I won.
Yeah, congrats.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Amazing feeling. And my husband and I, you know, he won his episode as well.
Nice.
So we said, let's go to Thailand. So we went to Thailand for 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's good. So what it's like, though, having a Josh in your life, in your corner, support you, is in culinary too. What's that like? Because it's always hard to really date someone in the same industry, even more married.
Yes.
Who does that?
we love it.
Yeah.
Our dynamic works. And, you know, we live very based off of church and state. Business is business and home life is home life.
Yeah.
You know, we could have a crap day in the kitchen. Something could happen in the kitchen where him and I get into an argument. It doesn't come into our home.
Oh,
we don't
nice.
Let it affect our personal life. And if there's an issue, we talk about it right away. You have to.
Yeah.
But him and I, you know, we're best friends and we know the way that each other thinks. You know, I can tell if he's getting frustrated with something. He can tell if I'm getting frustrated with something. We feed off that dynamic. We feed off of each other. And I feel like we just better each other when we're in the kitchen together. Like we're great separately.
Yeah.
We're a force to be reckoned with when we're together.
So when you guys dining out, do you find it weird? Do you guys critique a lot? Do you guys
try not to.
Yeah.
We try not to. We try to really, I mean, especially with a baby at home, we don't get out that often anymore.
Yeah.
So we try to just enjoy ourselves as much as we possibly can. Unless the meal is like horrendous.
And who cooks the most at home? Who cooks the most? You or Josh?
It's pretty equal.
Equal, I'd say yeah.
Takeout cooks the most for us.
Yeah.
We order a lot of takeout.
Yeah, because even for me at home, like I love, you know, ordering from different restaurants because I'm tired of my own cooking. I want to try different cuisine.
Yeah.
And, you know, a surprise, just go to the door and collect.
Yeah, like yeah. We're cooking for other people all the time. And then I also have like my biggest critic, which is my child.
Yeah. So no.
By the end of it, I'm exhausted. I'm like, just order something. I don't care.
I can imagine. Yeah. So recently, you know, as we said earlier, you got back from Spain. Tell us what that experience is like from you got an email or phone call. You were chosen out of how many thousands of people to go to Spain.
Such a crazy experience.
Yeah.
So East Spain, I found them on Instagram about 2.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They noticed me right after Top Chef as well. And they kind of send out like mass emails or Instagram DMs to chefs that they find from all around the world saying that they're holding this competition. Here's how to apply, blah, 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 blah. They had messaged me last year and said that they wanted me to apply. They had followed my journey on Top Chef and, you know, whatever that may be. And I said, when's the competition? And they said, it's November 12th. Well, I was due to have a baby on November 12th. So that didn't really work out. So then this year, when they had posted that the applications were back open, I was like, I have to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted to do it so badly last year, but I physically couldn't. And applications went out, or the application process started in March of this year. And you had until September to apply. So I didn't actually apply until, I think, almost August.
Yeah.
Because I was just trying to
Which seems very late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out the best concept and the best way that I could represent Canada.
Yeah.
And then I applied. And then we didn't find out until the first week of October. So it was a huge waiting game. And then... I remember
That's anxiety right there.
So much anxiety.
September and
Yeah. And everything was just in limbo. And I remember I was sitting on my playmat with my daughter at like 6:30 in the morning. And East Spain had sent out a mass post on Instagram posting who the contestants were for each country. And all of a sudden I saw my name representing Canada. And I just started, it was 6:30 in my house. Wow. I started screaming. Josh was still sleeping. I ran into the bed, started jumping on the bed. I'm like, we're going to Spain. We're going to Spain.
Yeah.
it was an honor to be chosen to represent our country.
And did you have any idea of what you'd have prepared then or at that moment you decide?
No, your application video that you apply with, the TAFE that you apply with is what you have to make when you're there.
Oh, I get you. Okay, I understand. Yeah. And of course, you decide, what do you think, Canadian? You think Thames? You think winter? I'm like, the Jamaican in me don't think winter. But I love your concept and I love your idea. Walk us through that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
There were so many ideas floating through my head. And I mean, the first thing that came to mind was when you think Canada, you think like, I mean, look outside right now. We've just gotten our first snowfall.
Yes.
Winters are brutal. They are cold here. But it brought me back to my childhood of like playing outside and building snowmen and being really excited for that first snowfall and Christmas. And I wanted to do something based on that. So that's where the name of my TAFE came. It was Winter Solstice, celebrating that first snowfall. And then, you know, you think of Canada and you think of maple and you think of bacon, but I didn't want to be so literal with it.
Yes, that's true.
And I'm just thinking, you know, again, back on that winter time, and I'm like, what did I used to do when I was a kid? We used to go ice skating. When you went ice skating, you drank hot chocolate. You know, my mom always came with a box of Timbits. And I'm like,
yeah. Ooh.
That's it.
Yeah.
I want something inspired by a Timbit. I mean, it has to be one or two bites. Why not do a Timbit?
Yeah.
I don't know. It sounds crazy, but
when just a cut. When I saw your story, I'm like, I'm hoping Tim Hortons, you know, jump on this bandwagon.
I know,
and,
right?
Like an ambassadorship around Canada, doing something big, because yeah, they, or even have, the same way we can have Justin Bieber thingy. We need yours.
We need Erica. We need
Erica's. Like, I would love to sample it. So Tim Hortons, Eller.
I think it's a little too high end for them.
No, but it can be a special or something. At least.
Yeah, I basically just made a meat donut. I was thinking, you know, I wanted to represent truly what ingredients all of Canada can offer. So I kind of just went end to end and I was like, what can I use? The first thing that came to mind when doing the donut was I knew I wanted to do a brioche base, but I didn't want to use butter.
Yeah.
I wanted to use aged beef fat. So I used a 40-day aged beef fat that was from Alberta. Aged beef fat has such a distinct flavor. It's very like mushroomy and hazelnutty. Has the most magnificent smell. So that immediately was like, yeah, I'm doing that. And then from there, just started building the different layers. You know, I used duck livers from Quebec, real Canadian maple syrup. I used Saskatoon berries, which are completely native to Canada, hazelnuts from British Columbia. And then to tie in the whole Spanish thing, I used sherry in my sherry maple mirror glaze to really cut the sweetness of it. And then I also used sherry wine in the Saskatoon berry gel. So it was just like a...
And the outside was some, what, sprinkled thyme or...
Yeah, so I made a beef fat powder.
Yeah.
To represent the snow, to also give it more like a more savory note
that's
to it.
That's a lot of work.
I finished it off with fresh thyme.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
for one bite.
I know that's a lot of work, but what was the response like though? What was the response like though?
I got great feedback.
Yeah.
They loved the taste of it. Unfortunately, I think I just may have gone a little bit too literal with it. Because Spain doesn't have a Tim Hortons. They have one and it's in Madrid. So the concept got lost in translation.
I get you.
They didn't understand it. But I will be applying again next year. And my husband's going to be applying. And I think I'm going to keep applying every year and just coming up with a different tapa.
And how many chefs? How many chefs? 16 of you?
16 chefs got 16 chosen. Yeah.
So someone walk away with prize and stuff, right?
Yeah, so there's a top three, first, second, third, and then there is an award for most avant-garde and then most traditional as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So Dubai brought it home this year, and he had an absolutely beautiful tapa.
And based on your experience, you know what you would change and what you'd have done differently?
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't have changed anything about this tapa. I absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
I think I executed it perfectly. I think the flavors were on point. I think it really represented Canada. I think it was just too literal. I was literally like if you're in Canada, you totally get it.
You get it, yeah.
But in another country, the translation just wasn't there.
And is this something that you will add to your menu or a pop-up or something, this tapa? Because I think it's going to be famous.
Possibly.
I think it's going to be famous. I think if you sell it the right way, because, you know, it sounds, I'm pretty much interested. I'm ready for one, you know, so I think an evening with Erica and you showcase this.
My next pop-up, maybe it'll be my next amuse-bouche.
Yeah, we're all in. And you were recently at the collective battle, right? You were judging?
Yes. Yeah, I was a judge at the Chef Collective.
I missed you. I was there.
Did you? Oh, yeah. I didn't see you.
Yeah, I was there. I got invited, so I came out to check it out. What was that like for you now in the judging seat? You're always being judged.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I I mean, there was a part of me that really wanted to jump back into the competition.
Really?
Yeah, of course. Like,
No, you're competitive.
It was so much fun, though. The chefs did a great job. It was really amazing to see three different chefs with three different styles really showcase what they can do.
Yeah.
And I got to sit on a panel of like really OG judges, which is so cool. Like Rob
Pioneers
from Food Network.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. That's true. And I already said something. It's about flavors and not just look. It's for Instagram. Mm-hmm. And that stood out for me.
Yeah, I feel like, this is going to sound horrible, but I feel like a lot of the time, especially nowadays, people are kind of just cooking for Instagram. They're worried too much about the presentation.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it's too much on how pretty they can make it and what garnishes they can add and what, you know, crazy techniques that they can do. But when you go to a restaurant and you sit down to eat a meal and you get something like that, number one, it's never hot because they've spent too much time screwing around with it. You know, at the end of the day, we want good food. We want tasty food.
Yeah.
You can make something taste good and make it look beautiful.
Yeah.
But if you're worried about the presentation first rather than the taste, it's just not going to work.
Yeah. And for me, like, I see some chefs doing like this, find this, and each to their own. But to be honest with me, one, I don't have patience. I mm-hmm. don't have it. And two, I don't like when my food is too pretentious.
Mm-hmm.
I like when it's honest, it's straightforward. You get the flavors, you get the story behind it. And because I think you'll always remember the taste. Unless you go through your phone, then you'll remember the picture that you took. But you'll always remember the taste. And for me, we need to get back to the taste and don't let social media get to us.
Yeah. And, you know, I learned that as well on being on Top Chef Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Mark McEwen gave us a great piece of advice where that's really what he was saying was taste first. Always taste over presentation.
Because at
the end of the day, something can, it might not look as pretty as your competitors.
But it tastes keep you.
Nail that flavor.
Yeah.
Home
run. That'll keep you, yeah. So I almost asked you, what's one of the best advice you've ever gotten? So I guess that would be one of them.
Yeah, that was really good advice. I think the best advice I ever got was actually from one of my culinary teachers in college.
Yeah.
And he had said to us, you know, no matter how bad your day is in the kitchen, think of it like wearing glasses. And right now I don't know if I can swear on here, but you've got shit spattered on your glasses.
Yeah.
And you can't see anything, but you just have to remember all you got to do is wipe that shit away. And you can see perfectly clear and keep going.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
I think I'll write that one down. And yeah, because that's how life is.
Yeah.
That's how life is.
And, you know, life is the kitchen for me and for so many other chefs.
What it's like though for you as a female and winning Top Chef, you know, back then you win Chop. What is life for you?
Fun.
And you're still breaking glass ceilings as well. You're still pushing through. You're still making your name. You're still putting yourself out there.
I don't stop.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to stop until I'm 6 feet under.
Yeah.
I'm not going to stop learning. I'm not going to stop pushing. And I'm not going to stop doing. It's who I am. And, you know, I want to inspire the younger generation and show them that, you know, you don't have to choose one thing or the other in life.
Yeah.
You know, I became a mom and not a lot of chefs have, you know, not a lot of female chefs have children.
That's true.
It's very hard to balance that life.
Plus relationship.
Exactly.
Alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a business.
Yeah, that's true.
But I just want to show people that you can do it.
You can do all of them, yeah.
Absolutely.
Alexa, play Superwoman.
Thank you. No, I have a very supportive partner. he honestly, he helps out so much and he's an amazing father. But it's just, for me, I want to show my daughter that don't stop, keep going and pursue your dreams. If you want something, you go out and get it.
Yeah.
Because nothing's going to be handed to you. Nothing was ever handed to me. I worked damn hard for everything I've got.
And no one owes you anything either.
No, not at all.
Because I find that most people these days are feel so entitled because, you know, because you're a woman, you're entitled to this. Because you're from this race, you're entitled to that. And we all got to work. We have 24 hours in a day.
I know some people have it harder than some.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't see gender. I don't see color. Yeah. You can cook, you can cook. And that's it, you know? Put yourself on the plate. I'm blind when it comes to looking at you. I don't care what your personality is. I don't care what you look like.
Yeah.
When you're in the kitchen, show me that you can cook.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
How do you explain your style of cuisine? I know for you, I love what you did about, you know, the Canadian stuff. And I saw where you did something, I think, I'm not sure if it was in Niagara. You did something years ago and you did stuff locally. And I love that take.
Thank you.
Josh did his brown sugar and oat cake. And
I think I would categorize my style of cooking as just modern Canadian cuisine because we are so multicultural in Canada. I love to cook everything and anything. I love to take my experiences from my travels and from other people that I've cooked with and other people that I've learned from and just take, like, put my own spin
and on express things. Yourself. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I was classically Italian and French trained. So that shows a lot in my cooking. And then I bring a lot of my Moroccan background into things, but really it's such a wide spectrum of the things that you can do with food. I don't like to just say, you know, I'm stuck to just doing this.
Yeah. I don't think you can be a chef and this is my opinion, if you just think that you're stuck to this, because even though I'm Jamaican, I will never say I'm stuck to Jamaican food or Jamaican cuisine, because food, I keep on saying this on the podcast. Yes, I sound like a scratcher. Food knows no boundary.
Exactly.
It's a universal language.
Exactly.
And what we call it we say fusion. Fusion since creation. Everyone been fusing cuisine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as you said, multicultural, Afro-Caribbean, Canadian, you know, the berries from... In my book, I have a Saskatoon berry cheesecake. My Jamaicans don't know Saskatoon berry. But being a Canadian now, which I love being a Canadian, hey, you know, because, trust me, being a Canadian is a whole different pride.
Yeah, 100%.
It's a whole different pride. And my Saskatoon berry cheesecake is like, I went to this farm and they have all Saskatoon berries and I picked those. And I went to one, I'm like, what am I going to do with these? And I did a cheesecake, and I just put it in the book because it also tells a story.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it tells a story. And that's what I love. I love when food tells a story by itself. And I saw that you love that too.
Yeah, that's what food's about. It's a love language. It's how it's how I express myself. It's how I tell my story.
Yeah. So what's your go-to cooking utensils? That you love.
My go-to cooking utensils.
Away from your knife.
Other than my knife, my microplane and my spoon.
Yeah, I saw your spoon. Why I ask? Why the spoon? My spoon
goes everywhere with me.
Why the spoon?
Taste. Like, you taste. Gotta taste everything.
I saw that why I ask, and I'm like, she's weird in a good way. I'm gonna ask her about that spoon, but you mentioned it.
That spoon's always in my back pocket. When I'm in the kitchen, you've got to taste everything. And then my microplane, because I weirdly like to garnish everything with lemon zest.
Yeah. You're also a very, what I love is a very positive person. And you're very straightforward, which I observe on a podcast I listen to you on. You told the host that they are very harsh on a contestant. And I'm like, She's a tough one. She goes in on people.
I'm not afraid to tell it like it is.
Yeah, hey, I love.
You can't be honest. What are you doing?
No, you're honest, and you're like, you guys are very hard on, you know, and they explain themselves, and I love your advice to competitors, and I love the way you're very positive in terms of competition, and you're like, if you came out first or you came out in the top. In the top three or whatever, you're all still a winner. You're all, and I love that the mindset. 100%. Yeah,
thank you, 100%. It takes a lot of guts to, you know, open up your computer screen and say, "I think I have what it takes to even apply." Yeah. And you know, like I said on the Eat North podcast, kudos to every single person that even tries to get onto the show.
Yeah,
it takes a lot of guts and a lot of courage, and it's hard. It's mentally exhausting on your body. It's physically exhausting. Whether you know, get into the competition or not, you still had the courage to apply.
Yeah, they had reached out to me for season 10 of Top Chef, and I'm like, I ignored this next competition, and they always reached out to me, but I'm never a competitive person. But I always cheer on for people. I don't know if one day I will just say, okay, I'll do it. But I'm never really a competitive person, to be honest.
it's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
I'm before the pandemic.
I get better of me sometimes.
Yeah, I'm before the pandemic. I went, did all my interviews and stuff for Chop. And I think that Chop was, I think it was in the US. Mm-hmm. I did an interview with the producer and stuff. So I was going all the way through. But then the pandemic came. And maybe that time I'd have went through with it because I felt it at that time. But no, I don't think. I don't know.
I think at the end of the day, just, you know, if you want to do it, just remember to have fun. That's what it's about.
And enjoy the moment. That's my thing. Enjoy the moment.
Exactly. Yeah. Have fun with it.
So what's next for you? A smell a restaurant 2023? No?
So many things happening right now. I'm very excited about the next upcoming months. So first and foremost, currently I am running my own business with my husband.
Yes.
It's called Carbs Catering.
With a K.
Because our last name's Karbelnik. Our slogan is Bring on the Carbs, which was actually our wedding hashtag.
Yeah.
We specialize in in-home fine dining custom tasting menus. We talk with the client one-on-one. We're not like your typical caterers that you'll find in Toronto. We talk with our clients one-on-one. We get to know them. We get to know exactly what they want for their dream menu. If this was your last day on earth and this is the last thing you get to eat, let us make it. We make that menu specially for them. No other guest, unless they see it on our Instagram, they're like, hey, I really want that dish. No guest that comes our way is ever going to get the same menu that you got.
Nice.
We bring the restaurant to you. We do full setup in your home, candles, florals, linens, printed menus. If you need a server, we bring a server. If you need a bartender, we bring a bartender. And we also go down to event planning. You need balloon garlands. We do balloon garlands. You need roses. We do roses. You want a DJ. Like, we've got you covered so that you don't have to call a million different people. You just call us. We do everything for you. We also do, you know, larger events, weddings, corporate events, canapé parties, anniversaries, but then we go down to as small as, you know, just doing a date night for two in your own home. You don't feel like going out. Okay. Call Carbs Catering. We'll come over. We'll do it for you. Impress your loved one. Have a private chef there for you doing it all up. I am currently working on a collaboration with Medium Rare. I'm very excited about this.
Nice.
We are actually making a Chef Erica K apron online, which I'm so excited about. We're just in the beginning stages of that. And then some really, really big news. I actually am opening a restaurant in 2023.
Hey, congrats.
Thank you. I am the ambassador chef, and I am co-designing a culinary program for this restaurant. So it will have 250 seats inside and 200 seats outside. I'm extremely excited to be working on it. It's a new premium sports-related concept that focuses on food, art, and culture. And it's with one of the world's most popular and notable sports properties and its players. I can't say who yet.
That's okay.
But a lot of people are going to think that this is a sports bar, but it's really going to surprise people that it's so much more than that. It's a sports-based culinary art dining space that I think it's a place that our city and the people and the visitors are really, really going to love. Yeah. From the arts program that it offers to the private dining rooms, right down to the amazing wine collection that it's going to have. We're going to be bringing the elements of the game to life in the dining space. So nice, it's a nice, really, really amazing concept. I'm super excited about it.
Yeah.
I can't wait to. And
do you know when in 2023 or there's no set date?
We have a date currently, but I'm not allowed to talk about anything. No,
that's okay. I've been watching and stalking, so I'll announce it.
Yeah, you guys, everybody's just going to have to kind of tune in and keep tabs on what's going on to find out, but I'm really excited about it. It's such an amazing concept that the company that I'm working with it has come up with, and it's going to be huge.
Yeah. And can you tell us where not yet?
It'll be in Toronto.
Toronto. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's all we need to know.
Yeah. It's in Toronto. it's going to be announced so soon. We're working on it, and the excitement is there. It really is. And I think that Toronto is really going to love this.
Just add my name to the launch list, please.
Absolutely.
And for Noel. Yeah. So we got the restaurant coming up, the aprons coming up, and I'm thinking the restaurant is going to take up most of your time. That's your focus.
For now, I mean, yes, because I'm helping them design the culinary program. So I'm very focused on that. But, my business is always going to be my forefront. That is my second child.
Yeah.
And like I said, I don't stop. So I'm just going to be everywhere. Mom, owner, running a restaurant, doing
catering,
it all.
Catering, yeah. So what's cooking in terms of in your kitchen? What's one of the dishes you're loving now? What's your favorite meal, your go-to meal? What's cooking?
Oh my goodness. I'm a pasta addict. I love pasta.
Yeah. I think that's one of my go-to dish. Is it a chef thing?
Maybe. It's so comforting. I don't know. I find like...
And it's versatile.
It is. It's so versatile. And then I love making fresh pasta. So whenever I get the chance, if I've got a day off that I can kind of just relax and I'll throw on some tunes and just sit there and make fresh pasta. I absolutely love it.
So walk us through one of your favorite pasta dish.
Ooh, there's so many.
Yeah.
I have one coming out on my Instagram this week that I just made that I love. I made it when I got back from Spain because I really just needed something super comforting. And I made a homemade pumpkin butter ball. So I'm using that. And it's nothing like, I'm not reinventing the wheel with this pasta. It's just damn good pasta. One pasta that I fell in love with when I worked for a restaurant in Vancouver was a spag ancho. And it's a spaghetti that has anchovy, garlic, and chili. It's basically like an alle olio, but you garnish it with fresh mint and some breadcrumbs.
Yeah.
And mint completely just elevates the dish. And it's filled with anchovies.
Yeah.
I was never an anchovy fan until I had this pasta.
Yeah.
It's delicious. Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds good. And I heard pumpkin. I'm like, it's a time for that though. And then the thing with pasta is that even with winter, it's like so comforting, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I mean, it works for every season. Like in the summertime, I'm making zucchini ragu. And then in the wintertime, I'm just making like meat ragus and stuff. But it's something that I can always just have in my house. Mm-hmm. I stock up on sauces, you know, all big batch, a bunch of stuff, keep it in my freezer, backpack things, and have them stored away for later. And then, you know, bust out the pasta machine and kind of just make some fresh pasta. My husband loves it.
Yeah.
The baby loves it. So nice. It's pretty easy for us.
Yeah. She has her own taste already.
Oh yeah. I've been feeding her solid foods. We started at 6 months. Yeah. Right when I was able to, I was
chef
like,
chef baby.
Yeah, got to eat. By 8 months, she had tried 103 different foods. I was recording all of them.
Yeah.
Now she basically just eats what I eat. Yeah, I mean, there's not much that she won't eat. She doesn't like red peppers. That's pretty much it, though.
That's all you know so far.
So far, this child eats every, like, I'm amazed at how much this kid eats sometimes.
She's gonna be very picky though. She's gonna be very picky and fussy and spoiled and with her palate. With her palate. All different flavors.
She had oysters at, I think, 7.5 months. I got her to try an oyster. She loved it.
Yeah.
I had to get a seafood allergy.
A foodie baby over there.
Yeah.
But that's good though. And then, do you ever think of doing a book? Any book in the making?
Yes.
It's every chef's dream.
I am currently working on my first draft. So I'm hoping that there will be a book in 2023.
Oh, so that was a secret she was hiding from us, guys. So we pulled that one out. So imagine a restaurant and a book and a launch for the book at the restaurant.
Possibly.
That's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And then will you have time for that competition in Spain, the tapas competition? You won't.
I'll make time.
You'll make time.
I'll make time for anything and everything. I make time.
Yeah. I love how you never stop. You love challenges. You're going above and beyond and you keep repping.
Thank you.
No boundaries, no limit. Yeah.
No, I'm proud of where I'm from. I'm proud to be Canadian. I'm proud to be from Toronto.
Yeah.
You know, we actually, Top Chef Canada just aired a new season. And they just announced the winner this week. And, you know, again, Toronto.
I meant to ask you, hold on. Don't go any further. Okay. Zip it. What's your take on this season overall?
I think it was a really good season. There were some really talented chefs on there. It was a lot of fun to.
Do you keep up with each seasons? Do you keep up?
My husband and I have binge watched every single season of Top Chef America and Top Chef Canada, like nonstop. It was part of our like homework, I guess you could say, before we went on to Top Chef.
So that helps,
100%. You kind of know what you're getting yourself into. And then we would always try to guess what the challenges would be. We're like, oh, it's episode 4. Okay, we're going to do restaurant wars this time. We've kept up on every single season.
And what's your take now on season X? And I met for the first time last night, Chef Trey.
Mm-hmm.
We worked together last night at this event.
Amazing.
You have a sick kids and he's awesome. Of course, he got some Jamaican roots.
Yep.
Yeah, so what was that for you?
I think this season was a great season. I haven't watched it fully. I'm one of those people that I like to binge watch things. So I was kind of waiting for it to be over and I can sit down and grab my bowl of popcorn and binge watch everything. But I kept tabs every week. I read Eat North. I listened to their podcasts and, you know, Trey was my pick from the beginning.
Really?
100%. I mean, he's a very talented chef. We've never actually met in person. And we just recently kind of started speaking on Instagram here and there. Camilo is insanely talented. The things that man pulls out, you know, he was one of my picks. Chris is really talented. Dez was really talented. Like, it was just a really, really talented group of chefs that went on to the and it was really fun to see the different styles that they all brought. And then, I mean, obviously, like, I got to rep my hometown. You know, I got to back the people from the town.
Yeah. I think for me though, like I get so busy and caught up, I don't really watch TV, but I think I'm gonna start binge watching, especially maybe season 9, season 10 of Top Chef. I'm gonna catch up on some, which I need to keep up. But
Yeah.
I'm not a TV person really.
I don't have time for it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when I get the chance to binge watch, then I'll sit and binge watch. But other than, like, I don't even have cable, so
Yeah, I yeah, 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 yeah. And that's me. Like, I don't do television really. But I need to keep up. So I'm gonna binge watch just like you. But I think Chef Trey, what I've noticed, is very hungry and very humble.
He's got that young hunger to him.
Yeah.
Because he's young, and you know what? He just proved to the whole nation that age is just a number and it doesn't matter. But it
He's
definitely,
27.
yeah, it added to his drive.
And he's my
You know,
next guest. After you, he's my next guest.
amazing.
Just so you know. So season 9 and season 10 winner is my next guest. He is my next guest.
I was just listening to him on the Eat North podcast, and he had said, you know, he had never had the ability to make a menu or to really represent his food style. So coming on to Top Chef was basically like a culinary stage for him.
Yeah.
That was really
He's
cool.
humble. Yeah, in terms of
Yeah,
he
he is.
and
He
he
is.
sh and he shares his emotion. Like, he's very emotional in terms
Yeah.
of his journey and his mother, his story.
But he said he wanted to win it. He was hungry to win it. And that's, you know, he had a goal and he set out to do it exactly the same way on my season. I had a goal. I set out to do
Yeah.
it. And he did it. And kudos to him.
Yeah. What it's like though being on? What's the good and the bad being on?
Being on Top Chef,
Yeah.
it's stressful as hell.
Mm-hmm.
It's mentally, physically exhausting. It makes you question everything about yourself as a person, as a chef.
Yeah.
You're not just worried about the food that you cook, but you're worried about the cameras and the other chefs that are there and the judges. And, you know, even with my husband there, like it can get lonely and isolating. And we did it in the middle of a pandemic, so we weren't allowed outside of our group, outside of our hotel room. It makes you think of everything twice, and you just, you know, especially for somebody like me who I took the competition really seriously,
Yeah.
because I had watched it for so long and it was really something growing up that I had always strived to do. I had one goal and one goal only, and that was to win. And if it wasn't me winning, I wanted my husband to win. I love what I do.
Yeah.
I eat, sleep, and breathe this career. I've given up so much for what I do. And you know, you strive for perfection. That can really, really take a toll on you mentally. 100%. But you know, at the end of the day, you have to remember that you have to have fun with it. It's food. You can't take it so seriously. And I think that's, you know, what I took away from being on the season was to take a step back and just remember to have fun, regardless of the outcome. But you know, I guess for me, it worked in my favor that I was that serious and I did
Yeah.
strive for one thing. But you know, at the end of the day, like forget the cameras, forget the judges, forget the other chefs, just cook, be you.
Yeah.
Regardless of, you know, what other people may think of you or perceive of you, you're there for one reason.
I meant to ask you that, in terms of, at 17, you walked in the hotel, you're like, hey, I want to be an apprentice in this kitchen. Social media wasn't around then, it wasn't popular, it wasn't there, and now we have all these pressure in terms of making food look good. People now critiquing on our life, people now critiquing on your looks, people critiquing so and so many things. How do you manage all of that, from Chop, Top Chef, being on social media?
I try to block it out. You know, most of almost everything I get is positive on social media. I'm very lucky. But I mean, there's always going to be that, you know, that one person that
I trash people.
Yeah. Like,
so when I get it back, it's okay. I'm kidding.
I think the computer screen is a very dangerous place. Mm-hmm. I think it gives people a lot of power that they don't realize the cause and effect of what they're actually doing when they're behind that computer screen. And they're like, oh, I'm just going to write, you know, this really nasty message because I don't know this person. I'm just going to say whatever I want to say. And, you know, people have to remember there's another person on the
behind
end of that screen. You know, and for me, I block it out. If I get, you know, if I have ever gotten one of those messages, it's just like, okay, thank you for your opinion. Bye. Like, you can't take it seriously. You don't know me. You don't know me as a person. You know me from, you know, the clips that you saw 2 seconds on TV. You know me from what you see on my Instagram. You just have to remember, like, everybody's being judged nowadays.
Yeah.
Everybody's being judged. Everybody's being critiqued.
And everyone's life is hard these days. Yeah. Everyone is, you know, it's hard out here in the streets, to be honest, because we're just coming from a pandemic. Everyone trying to figure out what's next. We're trying to finish this here. Everyone, some people affected financially. We all lost somebody. We know our friends. Exactly. It's hard out here. So let's just be kind.
Exactly. I'm sure a lot of people was taught the same thing, but my mom always, you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it at all.
Don't say it, yeah.
I feel like I'm a very nice person. You know, I'm kind-hearted. I'm very loving. And I always like to lift people up and, you know, see the best of their abilities. And I'm never going to put somebody down because of something that I see on social media.
Yeah.
That's just, it's very wrong. Like I said, you know, you have to remember that there's somebody else on the other side of that screen, and you know the kind of matter what they went through. So just sit back, chill, enjoy.
But it's also funny, you said earlier that, you know, you've gotten all love and positivity through social media. But I can tell you that, you know, watching most of the clips I've seen on YouTube with yourself, going through your Instagram, is your personality also shows who you are. A lot of people, they fake it. But if you fake it, there are some people who can spot fake from afar. And for you, without knowing you, talking to you, you give hope, you give peace, you give joy, you give soul, you give your food, you give different culture. We can feel your love through what you give. Honestly.
So much. Thank you. I appreciate that.
When you do. And, you know, when Shanley reached out to interview you and have you on, and it's a couple of days and she's like, you know, waiting until you come back and, you know, stuff like that. But when I was doing my own little research, because I've been busy doing events and catering, I like to do my little back research on people so that way I can go into the interview, not just asking a stupid question, even though I like when my interview flow, but I spent like an hour just researching you, feeling you, getting your energy, and it's all positive.
Thank you.
Yeah, and that's the reason why you got that back.
Thank you. I mean, I'm an open book. What you see is what you get. You know, I'm very straightforward. I'm very blunt. I tell it like it is. Mm-hmm. I'm fiery.
Yeah.
I'm feisty.
That's all honesty. We need more people like that. We need more people like that. Yeah.
But I wear my heart on my sleeve. You know, I love everybody. I love what it's cheesy, but like, I'm all about spreading the love.
Yeah, no, you do, and I can see it. And one of your easiest ways to spread it is through food, through taste, and what you put on a plate, and the way you explain your dish. It all tells a story. It all comes together.
100%. My favorite thing is just having a table full of people. Like, I don't care how. But having a table full of people, no matter who you are, if they find you on the street, my door is always open. You are always at my table, because that is just love. That is food.
Yeah.
You know, put the competition and all the bullshit and the other things aside. Food is love. Food is
shit.
Stories. It's family. It's friends. It's
It's everything. Yeah, it's our culture, it's
It's history. It's just, it's the one thing that just brings
bind us
everything.
together. It knows no boundary, you know. It brings different cultures because last night we did a private session, and we did a dish from like Nigeria. I did something from Mali. Someone did something from Ghana slash Jamaica. So, and it's, you know, all of like West Africa. We did the whole Atlantic slave trade thingy, and it
Oh, that's really
shows cut. Yeah, and it shows culture. It shows how, you know, food was from, especially from the African side, out of creativity. They had to use what they have in abundance to make food, and or they were very creative. And that's what I love, and that's one of the reasons why I do this podcast, is to hear chef's story. Because oftentimes we see the food, but we need to know more about the soul behind the food. And that's what you're sharing now. And that's because even with you being on Top Chef, you know, they judge your food. We've seen the food, we've seen the presentation, but we need to know more about you, the why, how, where, when.
And you know, that's the main thing that I absolutely love about what I do within our company, because in a restaurant, you don't get that one-on-one experience with your guests. You don't get that personal touch. But with what myself and my husband do with our company, it's so personal. You know, we were just at an event 2 weeks ago before we left for Spain with this absolutely beautiful family. This woman had messaged me maybe a week prior, and she's like, "Can you please do a catering for me? It's for my birthday. Can you do it for me on November 5th?" And I'm like, "I'm so sorry. I'm going to be on a plane. I can't do it on November 5th." She begged me, and I said, "Okay." I ended up doing the catering 2 days before I'd left for Spain. And our caterings take about a week to prepare. But we went there, and she was so gracious and so thankful that we were able to come out. She was re a really big fan. And at the end of the meal, they invited us to sit down for coffee and for cake and tell stories. And it was just so beautiful. And the
They
hot.
can't pay you for that feeling.
No, absolutely not. And we get to meet so many amazing different people in our company and doing what we do. And it's so rewarding. And, you know, I don't want to work 18 hours in a kitchen for somebody else anymore. I want to do this. I want to get to know my guests and my clients. And, you know, a lot of almost, I want to say about probably 96% of the clients that we have are repeat clients. They keep coming. Because the experience is so different, it's so personal.
It's
You
differently.
eating, you're getting something for you.
I had one of my favorite person on the podcast, Mary Berg.
Okay.
And that's one of the things, she doesn't do like, you know, catering and certain stuff, but she like personal touch. Like what you're saying. And for me, I opened a space on College Street. And when I started in the pandemic, 2020, when I opened in this restaurant called Free Play, people came from far, from very, very far, you know, whether it's Brampton, whether it's you name it, they came, you know, and it was a story for me. They support, they want to take pictures, and it's just a personal touch. And I feel like I've done my job, I feel like I'm doing my job. And food, it does something to people where we can't explain it. I was talking to a friend earlier, and I did a catering, and everyone, I had to meet everyone at the table. They're like, "Oh my God, chef, the food was so good." It's first event I've done in a while where everyone was like bigging me up. And I'm like, the money that they paid me can't give me this fulfillment, that, like the compliments I've gotten. Because we're in a time now where everyone is so negative that when you get a positive, we gotta take it in. And
100%.
it's what keep us going. And that personal touch is what keep us going. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate you saying that because,
Thank you.
even though that function last night with the Sick Kids Foundation, we were at the table talking to the guests, explaining the dishes. And it's that personal touch that keep us, because this chef world, it's a tough one. The stove hot, the fire, the pressure with social media, everyone taking a picture, everyone is now an influencer, Everyone is our food critic without credentials. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's all love, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it's about at the end of the day. It's about touching people's hearts and it's about the love.
Yeah. But I can't wait to see what's up next for you. I can't wait to come to the restaurant. I can't wait to see the book. And I just appreciate you for who you are. I appreciate you for what you're doing. I appreciate you for opening the doors for so many of the females, because I know them say, you know, it's a male industry. Do you believe that?
I don't. No.
We all learn from our moms and our grandmas.
You know, like I said, I don't see gender. I don't see color in a kitchen. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's a place for that.
For that,
you know,
no.
Cooking is cooking.
Yeah.
I'm actually doing a really fun event in December for people who are, they're doing a Women Who Whiskey.
Oh.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun. I'm doing like a whole whiskey tasting menu. It's Women in Suits by Got Style in the Distillery District. It's all about empowering women in the industry and telling stories. And, you know, I am all for a woman saying, hey, you know, I want to get out there and I want to do the job. It's not a man's job. It's not, you know, the man doesn't have to be the breadwinner. You know, a man can be a stay-at-home dad and the woman can go out and work. There's no rules when it comes to that.
Yeah.
You know, do what you love to do. If you want to be a stay-at-home dad, be a stay-at-home dad. If you like to, you know, if you love to be with your child, be with your child. If you want to go out and work, go out and work. It doesn't matter what role you
play. Society, yeah.
Right.
I think society is just putting too many pressures on people and expectations, and you got to do what works for you.
Exactly.
Like if you want to work and just want to stay home, just should be able to stay home and be a stay-at-home dad.
I think the stereotype of, you know, women having it harder in the kitchen, that puts more of a stereotype
on you. It's a mindset. I think it's a mind thing. We see Alex Guarnaccini, we see Freitag, we see all those female chefs on Food Network, Rachel Ray, Paula Deen making a name for themselves, Ray Drummond. So many of them making names for themselves, they're working in the kitchen. It's a mindset. It's a mindset.
Exactly. If you think that you can't do it because you're a woman, then you're not going to be able to do it. But, you know, at the end of the day, walk into a room, dominate, and show that you can prove yourself. Cook some damn good food.
Yeah. And if you want equality, then you got to step up to the game. Because in the kitchen, you can't just, oh, I can't do this. You got to step up and you got to put yourself there. It's all in the mind.
My whole thing, I used to have a friend. He used to tell me I could walk into a room full of, you know, 26-foot tall men, and I could say, okay, you show me yours, I'll show you mine.
You're such a gangster. The kitchen made you that, right? Become a gangster? It's a tough world. The kitchen is a tough one, but it's a good tough,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Got to have a backbone. But you also have to remember that it's okay to cry.
Yeah.
And it's okay to feel, and you're allowed to be in your emotions. We're human. Yeah. You know, people are allowed to have bad days. People are allowed to cry. People are allowed to get angry. People are allowed to get upset. We're human. Yeah. It's literally in our nature.
I've never asked anyone this question, really, but what would you say now to a young Erica?
Don't be stupid. what would I say to a young Erica? Keep doing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Keep striving, keep believing. You can do it and you will make it one day. And the world is your oyster. That sounds so cheesy.
No.
No, you know, just keep working hard and don't ever give up. And it's the words that my mom said to me. You can do anything you want to. You can do anything you set your mind to. And that goes for so many people, everybody, you know. Mm-hmm. If you want something, go for it. Even when the times get tough, you have to remember at the end of the day that those tough times are going to make you who you are.
Yeah. I love that because, you know, it's not easy out here in the street, as we've been saying over and over, because a lot of people, they see you on television, they hear you on the radio, they see you in the newspaper, they want to be like you, but they don't want to do half the stuff that you're
Right.
doing. Have you ever imagined that you would be where you're at now, then?
No, definitely not. I didn't know what my life was gonna be like. And I take things day by day.
Yeah.
I don't know what tomorrow's gonna bring. All I know is that today I'm gonna put my best foot forward and I'm gonna keep trying.
And tomorrow thinks for itself, eh? And tomorrow thinks for itself.
Yeah.
You're my people.
I don't want to stop. And anything that I see is like what we were talking about before. You know, am I going to have time to do Spain again next year? I
Yeah.
don't know.
Yeah,
Maybe
you know,
not.
and you don't care. When that time comes, you think about that.
I'm going to make the time because it's something that I want to do.
Yeah.
So whatever it is, if I want to do it, I'm going to go do it.
Yeah. And I love that because, you know, in this industry, it's easy to get anxiety, panic attack, all the stresses, all of this and all of that, and then substance abuse, overeating, this, that, and you know, our mental health is very important in this industry. It's that one that we speak on a lot. And it's real. It's happening because it's high pressured expectations, right? Because you've also have Top Chef under your belt, you know, Chop, all of these stuff. So when you walk into a room, there are so many expectations.
Yeah, and I suffer from high anxiety. I've suffered from depression my whole life.
Yeah.
There are days that get very dark. It's real. It happens. It's in
Yeah.
I've lost friends to depression and anxiety. I've seen people completely go downhill. And the one thing that people really need to remember is that it's okay to feel the way that you want to
Want to
feel.
feel, yeah.
There
Take a
are
break. Take a break.
break, yeah, and
Rest,
it's
relax. Some days do nothing. Be
exactly
nothing.
take a
Yeah.
day loose, reset yourself. That's what I do. Those days that I'm feeling that way, I have to remember I need to reset. Whether it's calling my manager and saying, "Hey, I need a break for a minute. I need to take a step back. I need to breathe." You got to do it for yourself. You got to do it for your mental state
Yeah,
because if
your family, yeah.
Yeah, if you keep spiraling,
Yeah.
it's never going to end. And remember that there's always somebody out there that you can talk to.
That's
Oh,
true. Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. No.
And seek that help.
Yeah.
Honestly, there's
Yeah.
nothing wrong with seeking help ever. But again, just remember, it's okay to be in your feelings. We are human.
Yeah. And it's a creative industry, and being creative, your mind is always going. But you want to do one to an next. I'm sure you have these days where you're sleeping and your mind is going on the catering you did, or the one that's coming up, the dish, or you could have, or you're going to present it. What time you're going to leave out? What time you're going to this? And you're not resting properly.
No, absolutely not. My brain doesn't shut off. It's exhausting sometimes.
Yeah, and you know,
I
we
was
see
about
the glam, we see the glitter, but there are so many stuff that we're not exposing that. It's real inside here in the kitchen. It's real inside this world.
Yeah. I mean, chefs are artists.
Yeah.
Like your brain can be a very dangerous place if you let it. Very dangerous. You have to have that off
And
switch.
dark and very
Yeah.
dark.
Yeah. But
Yeah.
you have to have that off switch. You have to
Yeah.
know it off. Like I was up at 4:30 this morning, writing menus,
Wow.
doing,
Because
creating.
that's your creative time, right?
Well, I was no, because I'm jet lagged and I couldn't sleep. And so, hey,
Oh.
I'm getting work done when
Because
I should
I'm a
force
late
myself.
guy. I'm up 1, 2, 2 o'clock. So I used to be up until 3 o'clock. Now I'm going to bed. I'm going to bed a bit earlier, but I'm normally creative at night where I do my reminders, I write notes, stuff come to my brain. Yeah.
Yeah, for me it's either 4:30 in the morning or it's like 8 o'clock at night when my baby
Night.
goes
Yeah, and then you know, being a mom,
bed.
being a wife, thinking about the career, it's a lot. It's a
Yeah.
lot, but you're balancing, you're juggling, and it's a new adventure because you're also adventurous.
I am. I love adventure.
Yeah.
I do. I love adventure. I wouldn't say I'm adventurous in life. I'm a scaredy cat for most
Yeah.
things.
And to wrap things up, what makes a successful chef? What makes a successful competitor? What makes a successful female to stand out in this industry?
Balance.
Hey.
Balance 100% in all aspects. When you walk into a kitchen, you know, there are so many people that they separate pastry and being a chef, you know, front of house and back of house. And no, it's about balance. Like I said, you know, I took a step back from the kitchen so that I could learn front of house. I've learned a little bit of pastry. You have to be able to know everything. You have to be well-rounded when you want to be, you know, the best of the best, when you want to be that chef, because you can't just hone into one thing and be like, oh, well, I'm good at this craft and that's it. Okay, great. Yeah, you're good at that, but you need to be balanced in all aspects, and you need to have balance in your life. If you
Yeah.
don't balance in your life, you're not going to have balance in the kitchen.
No.
You know, it's as simple as
I'm
that.
not even going to add to that because that's all facts. You have dropped the mic, you have dropped the knife, you have dropped it. That's a bomb right there.
Drop.
And yeah, Mike, and balance. I'm gonna end the interview like that. Balance. And you know, I really enjoy this chat, this little interview, this, you know, chit chat. I've learned some stuff from you as well. Thank you for your time as well. Thank you for all that you're doing, all that you're going to do, all that you have done, breaking the ceilings. And I love the dishes on your page. What's the company called again? Carbs.
Carbs Catering. So you can find us on Instagram at Bring On The Carbs
Bring
with a
on the
K.
carbs. Yeah, bring on the carbs with a K. Yeah.
And if you want to book us, please feel free, send us a DM. You can send me an email as well. And then I have my personal page, which is more like just at home recipes for the everyday cook. And that's at Chef Erica K.
And then I'm also telling you because Black Forest cake is one of my favorite, away from the Jamaican rum cake. And I saw you did one, which I'm gonna not say steal, but borrow that nice presentation and plating. That you know what I'm talking, right?
The one on the Bring On The Carbs.
It's on that round one, right?
Yeah.
That's so pretty.
Thank
I
you.
love a good Black Forest.
Yeah, it was beautiful. My husband came up with that dish. And I love that dish. I
The
love
plating
chocolate.
is nice.
It's a beautiful, beautiful dish. He's very elegant with his plating. I
Yeah.
love what he does.
I'm gonna have Josh on the podcast, just so you know. So
Yeah.
I wanna hear inside of a story. Oh bad you are. Oh bad you are. Yeah, I wanna hear Josh out of a story, okay? So we're gonna have Josh.
Well, you just tell him when and where. I'll make sure he's there.
And he's not on social media.
He
He's
doesn't have.
not.
No.
Why? Well, I'm gonna ask him that. Well, I'm gonna ask him that. Why he's not?
Here, you want to ask
Yeah,
him?
sure. Hey, Josh, come on in. Josh, come on in.
One sec, babe. Babe. Hold on. He's got to get headphones in.
Come
Hold on.
on, Josh, your moment.
No.
Where is he? It's
He's
just
talking.
audio. Tell him it's just audio. Come on, Josh. He's
Yeah.
hiding.
He's coming. We're
Okay.
on the podcast now.
We have less than a minute. We have less than a minute to go.
Less than a minute. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on.
Hey, bro, what's up?
How are
How are
you?
you?
Good.
So why are you not on social media? Why?
I don't know. It never really like appealed to me. I like, you know, like real stuff. I like being kind of like in the moment
Yeah.
and just kind of seeing people face to face.
Yeah. I heard you mention that you like when, you know, persons keep their phone away, enjoy the moment, and then you will send them the photos. And I like that, to be honest. Yeah.
I think you know, a big thing is when people go out for dinner and they are spend too much time taking pictures of the food, they're not really enjoying
It's that time. We've reached the end of another show. Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed this episode and you'd like to support this podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. Remember to follow us on Instagram at What's Cooking with Chef Noel. And to catch all the latest from me, you can follow me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at I Am Chef Noel. Until next time, see ya!